endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I want to remind you again of the prayer request page. Please visit the page on the website and remember those in prayer who have requested it. I also want to remind you again that Teresa and I have reserved the campgrounds for when the world calls October 20th through the 23rd. And the 20th is a Sunday, and we'll plan on doing this the way we have in the past, where we open up sign up at 1 o'clock that afternoon, and then we'll begin the conference with a dinner followed by our opening assembly that evening. We've got a great lineup of speakers. The campgrounds is just outside of Mount Vernon, Missouri. And so we're hoping that you will let us know that you'll be attending, and we'll have a great time of fellowship for those several days. After last week's message, I had some very interesting responses that came in, and they were great. And they were right in line with the things that I've been trying to get people to see regarding the application of physical water to the flesh for spiritual reasons in the New Covenant world. It's very exciting to me when I see people's lights coming on. And not because they're agreeing with me, that's not it at all, but because they're challenged from the Word of God, and they realize that there were things that they had never heard of, and they went and checked to see if the things were so. And that's exactly how it ought to be, and that's exciting to me. And I want to get back into mikvah even more now because of some of the feedback that I've gotten. But this week we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I want to go back and discuss something that I saw about 3 weeks ago, and I mentioned it to you, but I just didn't have enough time to cover it. But it goes back to an email response that I had told you that had come in, where one of our listeners had made the statement regarding men's little g, quote, governments. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go back and find that email because I remember the gist of what he was asking. And it's a very similar question that many people ask. And I believe I know why they ask it and why it's a stumbling block to many people. Because many people think, and again, it's because it goes to their understandings, or if your understandings have been shaped, molded, or formed by something called, quote, church. It's deeply affected their understanding of what the kingdom, the government of God is. The, quote, church has deceived people into believing that the government of God is not right now. The government of God is something that's to be established in the future when some Jesus supposedly returns to this earth to finish what he supposedly never finished, even though his words were as crystal clear as can possibly be. It is finished, he said. But nonetheless, apparently he must have lied because he's supposedly coming back to the earth to finish what he left unfinished, even though he clearly said it is finished. But the, quote, church has taught that the government of God is for the future. It's not for now. Well, what then is the implication of this false, and I will even say that it's a diabolical doctrine that nearly the entire world, led by the Catholic, quote, church and its rebellious children, the Mormons, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Churches of Christ, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Charismatics, etc., 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 what then is the implication of the belief that the government of God is not for today, but rather something that is coming in the future? It simply boils down to this, and it's really very simple. If the government of God is not for today, then what government is for today? If not the government of God, then of course it's the government of men. And they have nearly universally convinced the world, nearly the entire world, that God's laws are bad. God's laws are evil. God's laws are antiquated. God's laws were done away with. Jesus nailed his Father's perfect laws to the cross so that men could do a far better job with laws and governing than God could ever do. Well, what God did in less than 2 inches of paper, man has realized that he could do a far better job of governing people's lives, but has needed volumes and volumes, pages and pages, books and books to do what God said needed less than 2 inches of paper. And look around you. It doesn't take much to see that man has made a colossal failure in its attempts at what they have called, quote, governance. They are a joke. Stop making excuses. Stop pretending it isn't so. Man is a 100% total joke in every single thing man has put his hand to in our generation. The cities are a disaster. The economies are a total disaster. The education of the youth, just the basics, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, a total, complete joke. Science, health, everything man has put his hand to is a 100% total joke. Look at their politicians. They're, quote, lawmakers, total, complete morons, liars, thieves, perverts, deviants, and those are the best of the best. Churchians, some of them screaming in favor of the likes of Biden and Harris, while the rest of them scream for the likes of Donald Trump. I mean, it's actually quite funny how stupid all of this is. You know, while I was preparing this message, showing the two sides, the Bidens and the Trumps, I mean, I literally laughed out loud that this is what America has become, a laughingstock, a comic book that has no real humor, but instead is funny because of how stupid it has evolved itself to. There are two articles that I want to read you this morning. And the first one came out a few months ago, but it's about the African country Uganda. And the article is titled, Uganda Passes Anti-LGBTQ Bill That Would Impose Death Penalty, and Other International Stories You May Have Missed. But I'm only interested in the one from Uganda. Uganda, black as the ace of spades. This is not white people who some claim are the lost tribes of Israel, the superior race, the seed of Abraham, the saviors of the world. This is Uganda, a black-skinned-dominated country that incidentally also has English as its official language. But don't mistake what I'm saying now when I'm reading this article and actually showing something that a man's little g government is actually doing right, sort of, mostly, maybe. What the Ugandan people have done compared to the rest of the world is great. I mean, they're 1,000 times better than the white United States of America, quote, government. But they're still not functioning according to the way things are supposed to be in the new covenant, in the new covenant government of God. But implementing the laws of God is 1,000 times better than not implementing the laws of God or living in total rebellion to the laws of God like the lily white Americans are, and anyone and everyone can benefit from the laws of God when they're implemented. But it's still not exactly what the plan of God is as far as the government of God is. But my purpose in reading these articles is to try to use them to wake up people in America as to the source of their problems today and try to draw people out of the little g, quote, governments of men and into the government of God. White and wet America is miles and miles behind ebony black Uganda, who is at least heading in the right direction or in a better direction than pretty much the entire rest of the world. Now, I've linked the article in the message notes, and I'm going to have them on the website also. Here it is. Uganda passes anti-LGBTQ bill. Now, also, there's a photo of the, quote, legislature in this article. I don't think I was able to find one person in the photo. Okay, and why is that important to me? Well, because it seems like I'm constantly engaged with people who believe that their whiteness has some great value to their, quote, salvation. The white race this, the white race that. Oh, okay, if there is something to your whiteness and your relationship to the God of the Bible, then isn't it about time white people start acting like they're actually the people of God? They claim to trace their lineage to Abraham at the least, and most go further and claim to trace their blood to Adam. Well, so what? When you act like you're absolutely anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, etc. To listen to these people say, refer to people like the Bidens and the Trumps and these politicians and these people just because they're white and they say they're our people. Not so. Our people are those who have embraced Jesus Christ and the laws of his Father and the nation of the Commonwealth of Israel. That's who our people are supposed to be if you call yourself a follower of Christ. If Abraham were actually their father, they would have the faith of Abraham, the system of belief of Abraham. And that was very simple, because that Abraham obeyed God's voice, obeyed God's laws, obeyed God's commandments, and obeyed God's judgments. But since the white people in this world are the ones leading people away from God's laws, I'd say there's a pretty big problem with that argument. We better have our confidence in Christ. We better have our trust in Christ and learn that the flesh means nothing. The color of your skin has no bearing on your relationship with Christ. Whether you've applied physical water to your flesh has no bearing on your relationship with Christ. I don't know how people have come to the conclusion after reading the Bible that their flesh is more important than their faith, their system of belief. So, not a single white person could I find in this Ugandan photo, but these people were at least making an attempt at implementing the laws of God among themselves. Here's the article. As reported by Time, Uganda's parliament in Kampala on Tuesday passed a bill that would make it a crime to identify as LGBTQ. Yeah, and compare that with Pride Month, promoted by most city, quote, governments in the U.S. What a joke. Legislation described by the United Nations Human Rights Chief as probably among the worst of its kind in the world. The anti-homosexuality bill introduced several new regulations that would see anyone who is openly gay, as well as advocates for LGBTQ rights, severely punished. The new bill proposes the death penalty for those convicted of aggravated homosexuality, meaning sexual acts with minors or people with disabilities or with HIV, 20 years in prison for committing the offense of homosexuality, and 10 years in prison for attempting to commit a sexual act. The bill now heads to Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, who can veto it or sign it into law. The legislation has received worldwide condemnation. Of course it has! The National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby stating that Uganda could face economic repercussions if it's made law. Why it matters. The new bill is the latest in Uganda's crackdown against homosexuality. The LGBTQ community had already been facing discrimination before Tuesday's bill. In 2013, same-sex acts became outlawed with a punishment of life imprisonment. Following this, suicide rates in the LGBTQ community increased. The newest bill could see further discrimination and a possibility of mass violence against those who identify as LGBTQ. All right, it close, but you know, no cigar, as they say. And that's expected from men's little g quote governments, but it's still miles and miles ahead of anything going on in the U.S. The U.S. is the world leader when it comes to the advancement of the LGBTQ perversion. And oh, how some of the white churchian people in the U.S. want to talk about Biden and how he is so evil in promoting his queer agenda and how the queer agenda is just exploding like it never has before. Okay, do you remember how I've told you many times now how that in the U.S., one, quote, president just paves the way for the next one? Okay, there's not a lick of difference between any of them. One just paves the way for the next. I want you to listen to this. This was 6 years ago. Okay, I've got the link in the notes, and the link will be on the website.
Only weeks ago in Orlando, Florida, 49 wonderful Americans were savagely murdered by an Islamic terrorist. This time, the terrorist targeted LGBTQ community. No good. And we're going to stop it. As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me. And I have to say, as a Republican, it is so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said. Thank you.
Okay, that was pretty much self-explanatory. Now listen to this one. This is Rick Grinnell, graduate of Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri, which is supposed to be the leading university in the U.S. for the, quote, assemblies of God. Okay, he made this video when Trump was running for re-election. Listen to this one.
President Trump is the most pro-gay president in American history. I can prove it. My name is Rick Grinnell. I'm America's first openly gay cabinet member. As a United States senator, Joe Biden said gay people couldn't receive security clearances because we would be a security risk. Joe must have been terrified when Donald Trump appointed me as acting director of national intelligence. The fact that I'm gay didn't even faze Donald Trump. Joe Biden certainly didn't congratulate the appointment or even acknowledge it, but his silence was deafening. President Trump has done more to advance the rights of gays and lesbians in 3 years than Joe Biden did in 40 plus years in Washington. For four decades, Joe Biden has attacked the LGBT community. As a U.S. Senator, Biden supported Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the Defense of Marriage Act. Biden voted to cut off federal funds to any school that teaches acceptance of homosexuality. Biden said again and again that he was against marriage equality.
Senator, do you support gay marriage?
No.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
And now? Well, now that we've made progress, Joe Biden has changed his mind. I know firsthand that President Trump is the strongest ally that gay Americans have ever had in the White House. Donald Trump is the first president in American history to be pro-gay marriage from his first day in office. President Trump knew I was gay when he appointed me to one of the most prestigious and powerful ambassadorships in the world. As ambassador to Germany, President Trump fully supported our fight to crush the homophobic and barbaric Islamic terrorist organization Hezbollah and the Iranian regime that supports them. While President Trump was denying the homophobic regime money, The Obama-Biden team was giving them billions of dollars. Joe Biden not only admits it, he says he'll do it again if elected president.
I would reinstate the Iran nuclear deal.
President Trump began a historic campaign to decriminalize homosexuality around the globe at the United Nations, where he publicly challenged the 69 countries who make being gay a crime to change their laws.
And my administration is working with other nations to stop criminalizing of homosexuality.
Gays and lesbians can be put to death in 9 countries just for being who we are. So why did Joe Biden fail to make this issue a priority in his more than 40 years in Washington? He's never answered this question. This is why I believe we need President Trump in office for another 4 years. And I'm certainly not the only one. There are millions of patriotic gay Americans who are sick of being told to sit down and shut up by those who want to control us. Those who are afraid of our voice. Those who want to keep equality a partisan issue. They tell us our opinions don't matter because we don't subscribe to their groupthink. They try and bully us into silence. But in my experience, proud gay people don't like to be silent. They like to be loud. Yesterday's champions of diversity are today's intolerance. Well, I love this country, and I'm not going to be silent. There are tens of thousands of gay conservatives just like me who also won't be silent. Gay people don't have to vote Democrat because Donald Trump is the most pro-gay president in American history.
Okay, now that was also self-explanatory. Okay, now here's this one. This one is Rick Grenell with Donald Trump's daughter at a Pride event while Trump was attempting re-election.
When my father decided to run as for the Republican nomination, I can say I was, you know, I was a little bit worried just based on previous, you know, the past Republican establishment and how, you know, their views maybe were towards this community, towards gays, lesbians. But guess what? My dad cannot be bought off. He's not going to let anyone change his views, and he's done that. And I pray that you all see that. Like, I'm here speaking. I wouldn't lie to you. I promise. I wouldn't. Like, I was texting all my friends. It was last minute, and Rick told me he's doing this event. I said, what? Trump Pride? I have to go. This is like the first coalition under Republicans for Pride. I'm so excited. Truly. I know it's difficult, truly. I mean, as a young, I guess I'm fit in that category of the educated young woman, you know, category, it's hard to speak. A lot of us are silenced, or a lot of us feel as though, oh no, if I say this, then I'm accused of this. But what I've learned, when you don't speak and you do remain silent, and I used to think that was a strength, but when you don't, they create their own narrative. The narrative that they want to sell to the world, and they've created that about me. So now I'm here to speak to you because I've educated myself. I understand what I believe in now, because I'm not going to speak about politics or policies until I have my own beliefs. And guess what? I'm here standing here for a reason, and people can say whatever they want to say, but I'm here because I support my father. He supports all of you, and we are here to fight for equality and democracy, to keep America and make it better. Yes, Trump Pride!
And I'm here to tell you Donald Trump is 100% with us. He loves the support from gays and lesbians and asks me pretty regularly, how we doing with gays and lesbians? And I say, Mr. President, the gays love you. They love you because you're savage. They love you because you're brave. They love you because you are changing Washington, D.C.
Now, one quote president paving the way for the next one. Listen to this.
Look, in an Obama-Biden administration, there will be absolutely no distinction from a constitutional standpoint or a legal standpoint between a same-sex and a heterosexual couple.
We very much would like to see you pass legislation now saying, end, don't ask, don't tell. I want to start off by saying, first and foremost, I'm proud of you. There's not a single thing about you that's not normal, good, and decent.
I think the country's evolving, and I think there's an inevitability for a national consensus on gay marriage. That is my view.
I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties.
Thanks to you, our children and grandchildren are growing up in a world that is far more just, far more open-minded, far more humane. But here's the hard truth. For all the hard-won progress you have made, for as much as we can celebrate how much better things have gotten, this fight, as you know, is not nearly over. By the way, too many, particularly trans women of color, are being murdered. It's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Vice President-elect Harris and I are committed to being the most pro-equality administration in history.
Flanked by his defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, President Biden ended the ban on transgender troops today.
The Biden administration is reversing a Trump-era policy relating to healthcare, HHS, saying federal law does protect gay and transgender people against healthcare discrimination.
I'm proud to lead the most pro-LGBTQ equality administration in U.S. history. But we must protect the gains we've made and fend off the cruel and unconscionable attacks we're seeing now to ensure that everyone enjoys the full promise of equality and dignity and protection.
The onslaught of state laws targeting transgender Americans and their families, it's simply wrong. And I said last year, especially to our younger transgender Americans, I'll always have your back as your president so you can be yourself and reach your God-given potential.
That one, too, is self-explanatory. Now, let's go to the next article. This one is important to me, actually more important to me than anything we've seen or heard so far this morning. This is Ted Cruz. And it isn't even important that Ted Cruz is a, quote, conservative. And I refuse to call them Christians. They're not Christians. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian is someone who has left the world with its systems of men's little g, quote, governments, and has become a follower of Jesus Christ. Hey, just like we saw last week from John chapter 1, Jesus told Philip, follow me. Then it was revealed to us from the Bible that a follower of Jesus Christ believes that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. The follower of Christ has left the world to become a follower of Jesus Christ, the King. Jesus Christ, the only King. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, the last of the kings, the last of the lords that God has ordained for his creation. You know, people often say to me, this person is a Christian. This person's in the kingdom. Great, I love to hear it. Hey, there's another man, woman, boy, or girl that has left the illegitimate governments of men and has come into the kingdom of King Jesus. That's what we're talking about, right? Okay, when we say that this person's a Christian or this person's in the kingdom, we're talking about someone who has taken up the cross, which is a symbol of the death penalty with men's little g, quote, governments, and has chosen to follow Jesus Christ, even if it means death by men's little g, quote, governments. That's what we're talking about, right? Okay, it's so ironic to me that the, quote, church and the, quote, churchmen are so fearful of being, quote, charged with petty misdemeanors in men's little g, quote, governments. They wouldn't dare violate an ordinance from men's little g governments. But in the Bible, a follower of Jesus Christ is one who could potentially be charged under men's little g, quote, governments with offenses that could bring the death penalty. Jesus Christ suffered a death sentence from men's little g, quote, governments. He was arrested, tried, convicted, and executed by the Romans. And of course the Jews were part of it. Of course the religious men were part of the conspiracy to murder Jesus Christ. But ultimately, he was executed by the state, by the Romans. The Jews every bit as guilty as the Romans. They were all guilty. They all conspired against Jesus, from the religious leaders in Jerusalem down to the Roman soldiers who actually drove the nails. They were all guilty. I've had people push back against the understanding that Jesus Christ was executed by the state. But that's what the Bible says. Go back and read the story again if you need to. Study the cross. The cross was a symbol of execution by the state. When you declare yourself to be king and the state refuses your declaration, you're going to be considered a seditionist, treasonous, an enemy of the state. And that is exactly what happened to Jesus Christ. Now, listen to Ted Cruz's response to Uganda's potential death penalty for homos and punishments for those who want to advance the freakish LGBTQ agenda in Uganda. This is from Business Insider headline. Ted Cruz is citing the Bible and preaching on Twitter in defense of gay people, and it's quite something. Great. Okay, here's another quote, Churchian. He's not a Christian. Christians do not defend homos, freaks, and perverts. Churchians might do it, but Christians do not. Christians do not denounce the laws of God. Christians do not say the laws of God are bad and man's, quote, laws are good. Quote, Senator Ted Cruz on Monday cited the Bible and quoted verses in defense of LGBTQ plus communities, a stark departure from his decidedly conservative position on gay rights. A Florida pastor, Tom Askell, tweeted a Bible verse that suggested every gay man should be put to death, to which Cruz responded, quote, your biblical analysis is in error. The Texas senator then invoked another Bible verse to support his argument. Quote, Jesus told us to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We're talking the laws of man, not the Old Testament laws of God, Cruz tweeted. There you go. God's laws are no good, and Jesus himself denounced God's laws when he commanded people to obey Caesar and apparently forsake God. Okay, the problem here is that Ted Cruz's Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus Christ never told anyone to denounce the moral laws of God and replace them with the immoral, quote, laws of a, quote, Caesar. That never happened. And to teach and believe such ignorant things displays a complete lack of understanding of the mind and will of God for his creation. Ted Cruz is exactly what one should expect from the teachings of, quote, church. Now, it was nice to see this Tom Askell, who the article says is a Florida, quote, pastor, making a public stand for God. Okay, that was nice. Rare, but nice. Ted Cruz, we're talking the laws of man, not the Old Testament laws of God. Yes, we hear you loud and clear. But what Ted Cruz and millions, billions of other people who teach and believe the exact same thing do not understand that God, even in the old world, did not want man making their own laws. Nonetheless, he allowed it for a while. But in the new world, he once and for all put an end to it. Man is not allowed to make their own, quote, laws. Man is not allowed to define good and evil, right and wrong. And when men fail to understand and believe this so simple fact, then we see what type of world is grown from that seed. We're seeing the world that has been produced from that evil ideology. When man decides that he knows better than God does, the world becomes a disaster. And that came from the right-wing conservative Republican Ted Cruz. If that's what the right-wing conservative people, Republicans, believe, well, my goodness, what do the other people believe? Okay, this is not God's fault. God has told his creation what his will is. He has told us what he expects from us. He has told us the way we're supposed to live under the kingship of his son. We aren't supposed to have any other gods, rulers, judges, magistrates, other than him. That's the very first commandment, number one. Yet that one is obliterated more than the others combined. You know, so many people spend so much time on some of the others, like the easy ones, like keep the Sabbath. But the first one means absolutely nothing. It's crazy. The world is in the shape it is in today because of people like Ted Cruz who trample on the government of God and promote the Caesars in the world above God's very own son, Jesus Christ. The article continues. Cruz asks Tom Askell. He then added, "Do you really believe that the U.S. government should execute every person who is gay?" Cruz also mentioned another Bible verse. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Well, that's horrible Bible quoting, if that's what it is. But to argue that it was cruel and hypocritical to judge others for sinning. Hey, this coming from someone who's supposed to be the champion of the right? This is promoting the worst Bible teaching available today. Okay? It's cruel and hypocritical to judge others for sinning. But it's not cruel and hypocritical to judge others for, quote, sinning against man's laws. How ridiculously double-minded can people get? The article goes on. Askell later told Newsweek that the point of his question was not to suggest that gay people should be executed, but to determine if the senator believes that when God criminalized homosexual conduct in the Old Testament, that our Maker was guilty of prescribing a horrific and grotesque law. He told Newsweek that he was grateful for the discourse with Cruz and welcomed further conversation with him about these important matters. Cruz's religion-driven, pro-LGBTQ plus tweets came just days after he unexpectedly called new legislation in Uganda, which allows for gay people to be sentenced to death for their sexuality, horrific and wrong. Cruz, speaking out so strongly in favor of LGBTQ plus communities, is a far cry from his earlier positions on the matter, such as when he said the U.S. Supreme Court was clearly wrong about its 2015 Obergefell versus Hodges ruling, which legalized marriage equality. Obergefell, like Roe versus Wade, ignored two centuries of our nation's history. Marriage was always an issue that was left to the states. Okay, some people think that that's a really great statement, that marriage was always an issue that was left to the states. No, marriage is something that's left to God. God is the one who decides what marriage is, and God said that it's between a man and a woman. It is not a good thing to say that marriage was always an issue that was left to the states. That's pure garbage, he said in a July episode of the Verdict with Ted Cruz podcast. And in November last year, he voted against the Respect for Marriage Act, a move to provide federal protection for marriages of same-sex and interracial couples. He said it would be an attack on religious liberties, the Texas Tribune reported. Representative for Cruz didn't immediately respond to a request for comments sent outside regular business hours, end quote. What we're witnessing here is the classic fulfillment of a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's the way American, quote, politics works. Whatever might get the most votes, whatever might bring in the most fundraising dollars, that's what needs to be said. It's not about right and wrong. It's not about what God said, because that has already been established, and they've already taken it off the table. Jesus told us to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God, the things that are God's. We're talking the laws of man, not the Old Testament laws of God, Cruz treated. Well, what in the world does that even mean? The discussion's about LGBTQ. Well, if, quote, Caesar is the, quote, government, well, isn't the, quote, government of Uganda? Okay, then why isn't Cruz telling the people in the U.S., well, Caesar, the government of Uganda, declared homosexuality and the promotion of LGBTQ to be against the law, and isn't what the Ugandan government passed, isn't that the laws of man? Well, it pretty much seems to me that what Cruz really is saying is that if men happen to, by chance, pass a, quote, law that might be in agreement with the Old Testament laws of God, then that's horrific and wrong. And that is insane. The double-mindedness is absolutely ridiculous. And this is why we're in the shape we're in. Or maybe it's that Cruz believes the U.S. government is ordained to rule the world, and whatever, quote, laws or public policies the U.S. creates are what everyone else in the world is supposed to obey. I just don't get it. How is it that one of man's, quote, governments creates a, quote, law and tells their citizens obey it? Okay, how does that not fall within Ted Cruz's render unto Caesar? Where's the logic? Again, I think the veil has been ripped off of churchianity once again. The church and the churchmen of America are the religious arm of the state. To hear the phrase, quote, render unto Caesar, more than any other place in the world, go to an American, quote, church. And since they're the biggest advocates for that deception that the world has ever known, Caesar, as in render unto Caesar, actually means render unto the U.S., quote, government. That's what that means. And that's what they all mean. Democrats say it. Republicans say it. Independents say it. That's what they all mean. And just because that's what 99.9% of people in this world believe, that doesn't make it right. When God sent his only begotten son to this earth, one of the biggest reasons he came was to put an end to the days where God allowed the nations to walk in their own ways. It was allowed in the old covenant world. Give us a king like all the other nations was allowed, but it was allowed because the people rebelled against God being their king. And the whole historical event was recorded in 1 Samuel 8 and then recorded, the record continued until the end of the old covenant world when Jesus Christ was revealed as the king of Israel. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ took the throne of the ecclesia, the government of Israel, at his resurrection from the dead. That is all recorded history. But men rejected it then, and they continue to reject it today. The quote church and the quote churchmen love to talk about Jesus taking the throne of David, but they say that it has not happened. They say that it will happen in the future. Yet there's just not too many things that are clearer from the Word of God than what we find in Acts chapter 2, where the text says that Jesus took the throne of David at his resurrection. Friends, if someone cannot see that plain, clear, simple truth, how can they understand anything else from the Bible? The answer, not popular for sure, but the answer is they can't. It's impossible. The fulfillment of the Davidic covenant is one of the most foundational keys to understanding the Bible. And if a man believes that has never happened, it's impossible to correctly understand the Bible. A failure to comprehend such basic truth, simple basic truth, will skew the entire rest of the Bible. And we see it daily all over the world with the U.S. leading the way. In 2023, supposed champions of the right defending the LGBTQ freak show agenda and calling the laws of God horrific and wrong. Just amazing. So why does it happen? Why does God allow this? If Jesus already set up his kingdom and is ruling and reigning, why is the world like it is? Okay, this is what I've tried to explain in the Predestination versus Whosoever Will series. In the New Covenant world, we live in a whosoever will world. God has given man the choice to follow Christ and live, or to follow their own beliefs and die. But to me, this offers the greatest amount of hope that man could be given. Each generation has a choice to embrace Christ and live. And that's where we come in. We're to live the way God wanted us to live, no matter what. We're to be a light to the world. We're to show the world, not just tell the world, show the world what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ by living no king but Jesus. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. And friends, it might seem that in the world that we live in, that that's just not the safest way to live. And well, it may not be, but it's the right way to live. Living for Christ the King in a world that believes the laws of God to be horrific and wrong may not seem like the smartest route to take, but it's the right thing to do. Years ago, I mean, age 20, over 40 years ago, so says my mother, I came across a singer named Steve Green. It's church music, but as squirrely as most church music is, I still preferred it to what other people my age were listening to, AC/DC, Kiss. Okay, not interested. Okay, I'll just sift through the church music that I can find that happens to be biblical, and if it's not, I'll just fast forward what isn't. Okay, anyway, over the last couple years, I've been hearing more from Steve Green. He sings church music. I'll just tell you that. But some of what he's been putting out has been some non-traditional church music, and I really like some of it. So if you're looking for some pretty good music, search for Steve Green music. One of the songs that he has put out is one that I especially like, and it's called Find Us Faithful. Listen to these lyrics. This is really good. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Now listen to this next line. This is pretty interesting. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. You know, most church music doesn't really concern itself with those who come behind us. You know, they aren't normally concerned with future generations because they spend most of their time talking about being raptured away. Hey, there's just no need to be concerned about future generations. There isn't any real future. You know, the rapture is getting ready to happen and just at any moment. Yeah, and I've heard that. All my life I've heard it. Yet here we remain. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Friends, that's awesome. May the fire of our devotion light their way. That's why we live the way we do. I know for me, I live the way I live, not just because it's following Christ, though if that's the only reason, that's certainly enough. But future generations need someone to point back to and say, he lived for Christ. He stood for the government of God when the world was so bent on hating Christ, on hating his government, calling his father's laws horrific and wrong. He stood for Christ. Living according to the will of God so that it may inspire others to obey Christ should be front and center in our minds each day of our lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Someday future generations are going to be so oppressed, and they're going to be so angry at the world in which they live. They're going to rise up and they're going to curse those who went before them. May it never be said about those of us who are following King Jesus, no matter the cost. We must live our lives exclusively following King Jesus so that future generations have a witness and a testimony that there were some men and some women who found following Jesus Christ greater treasure than to reap the benefits that the world has to offer for a season. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness, passed on through godly lives after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Will future generations be able to look at our lives and see that we were found faithful to the government of King Jesus? Each and every one of us have a choice in whose government we will follow. Each and every one of us have a choice in where our citizenship is. We each, because we live in a whosoever will world, can choose to be citizens of the government of God, the Commonwealth of Israel. I want you to turn again, please, to Revelation chapter 22 for just a few minutes. We need to see this again. We need to see this so that we can root out false teachings of, quote, church and replace them with what the Word of God actually says. Verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Okay, I don't know of any religion anywhere that claims to believe the Bible that does not say that they believe that these verses are talking about the kingdom of God. You know, this is heaven. This is what is supposed to happen at the end of time, when the current world has been done away with and a new heaven and a new earth has been established. This is what happens after the rapture and the great tribulation and the world is over. Okay, there's pretty much no, quote, recognized religion in the world today that believes that this is a picture of the new covenant world that was established in the end of the first century. Verse 6, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Pretty much the entire, quote, church world teaches and believes that all of this is future. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them," but yet it's future. "And when I heard and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And as I've pointed out many times before, verse 10 may as well not even be in the Bible, though it clearly puts a timestamp on the writings of this book. Nearly the entire religious world finds no value in verse 10, but will still press on with their belief that all these things are future. Now verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And just like verse 10, verse 15 is nearly universally ignored. They love to talk about the gates of the city and the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and all that the future supposedly holds, when God wipes away all tears from their eyes, and then there's perfect peace and righteousness is what God then forces to happen. And that is what most everyone believes about the government of God. They believe that the government of God could not possibly be in place today because it will only come about when Jesus comes back and forces every knee to bow and every tongue to confess. Bow or die. Believe or die. And since they've never seen anything that even comes close to that, they can't conceive in their minds that Jesus is supposed to be the ruling and reigning king right now. But friends, that's not Bible. It's never been that way. That's been a concoction by the, quote, church and the churchmen. Because Jesus has not forced men to accept him or be killed. That's the one way we know that his kingdom is not now. So here we are, finally, in the last chapter of the book. Jesus has come again. God has finally finished everything, and he's set up perfect peace, perfect righteousness. His perfect kingdom has been set up, and his saints are now living in that kingdom. But then comes verse 15. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, how can that be? I thought all of those things were cast into hell. I mean, they had this great white throne judgment and death and hell and the devil and his twin brother Satan and all those who did not ask Jesus into their hearts. They were all sent to hell to burn forever and ever, while those who did go to church and pray and obey the government, they're all sitting at Jesus' feet and then living in their mansions, walking down their streets of gold and living in perfect peace and righteousness in the city of God. But then there's the unrighteous, seemingly living right outside the city at the same time. Well, that's truly an inconvenience. Yes, it's an inconvenience because it simply cannot be explained by the church's, quote, false teachings of futurism. Revelation 22 is showing a figurative, symbolic understanding of the new covenant world. And those who have embraced Christ are living in it, while those who have not are living side by side with the righteous, but outside the city. The government of God, the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us, is one whose increase there is no end. And how does the government of God increase? When those who have rejected Jesus Christ repent of their sin and choose to follow Christ, then the door to that city is open to them. They leave the world and enter into the city of God. And it's a matter of free will. Look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in their communities. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Constantly, we see the Bible pointing to Jesus as the offspring of David. Why? Because it all goes back to the Davidic covenant. The promise to David that the ecclesia in Israel wouldn't end and that someday a Messiah king would come and would take David's throne and rule over Israel and the rest of the world. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The government of God, the kingdom of God, the new covenant is a whosoever will proposition. Now, let's read those last several verses without interruption, beginning with verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the communities. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will? Whosoever will what? Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. We all have a choice in whose commandments we will follow. We all have a choice in which nation we'll be a citizen of. This is a free will proposition that God offers his creation. Why will men not take him up on it? You know, that's one of the strangest things to me that I've tried to figure out my entire life. The commandments of God are contained in a book that's barely 2 inches thick. Man offers volumes and volumes, pages and pages, enough to go to the moon and back. But men still prefer their, quote, laws and statutes, their constitutions. It's the strangest thing to me, and I just don't get it. Men have their way out of rebellion. It's really that simple. You've got, quote, statesmen and churchmen that appear to be sincere. I mean, it's possible that Ted Cruz truly believes that it's a righteous thing for him to say that God's, quote, Old Testament laws are horrific and wrong since Jesus came and told everyone to worship and obey Caesar. He may really believe that. And if he's a, quote, churchgoer, he probably does believe that, because that's more than likely what he was taught all the way back in Sunday school and since then. But it's not right. It's diametrically opposed to every single thing the God of the Bible stands for and wants his creation to know and understand. Yes, the government of God has been set up. The kingdom of God is now and has been since the first century. And every man, woman, boy, and girl is supposed to renounce the little g, quote, governments of men who have openly, publicly renounced the laws of God and compel men to obey their, quote, laws and have Caesar as their king. Little g, quote, governments continue in the new covenant world because of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is king right now, has simply not been preached. And it's even been rarely lived. We must, as followers of Jesus Christ, stay faithful to the faith of Abraham, the system of belief where Abraham left the world and followed exclusively the voice, the law, the commandments, the judgments of the God of the Bible.
Children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must follow. Oh, may all who come behind us
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.